Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. It is so very, very cool of you to decide to join me again today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a serial entrepreneur, speaker, blogger, consultant, and coach at Systems Scientist. She's a podcaster and the author of Owning It, Embrace the Best and Worst Parts of You to Thrive in Life and Business. She is the founder of Midzik Media, the host of the Off-Road Millennial podcast, where she talks about the future of work and millennial entrepreneurship, and she also writes about personal branding and life-work balance for her personal site. She is a scientist by trade, so she uses a mixture of her analytical and creative mind to help others identify their deficiencies and strengths within their personal lives and businesses. Now, let's hack Mally Ridzik. I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, Chargeover, a recurring billing and payments app. Download their free guide right now. It was made exclusively for you, a Hack the Entrepreneur listener. It's called 7 Amazing Hacks for Recurring Billing Companies. You can get it at chargeover.com/hack. So the founders of Chargeover needed a way to manage recurring billing for their tech company. And the software just didn't exist. So like any good entrepreneur, they thought, hey, I should scratch my own itch. And they built their own software from the ground up. Now, if you are launching a business or you own a business currently and have customers that pay you on a recurring or subscription basis, Chargeover is an absolutely fantastic option. It'll get you paid faster, reduce churn, and you'll spend less on bookkeeping. All your payment-related customer emails will be branded, personalized, and searchable, and you can count on world-class customer support from Chargeover's team. Go right now and download Chargeover's free guide, 7 Amazing Hacks for Recurring Billing Companies, at chargeover.com/hack. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. We have a very, very, very special guest today. Mally, welcome to the show.
Hi, John. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
All right, Mally. We're going to go straight into this if we can.
Okay, I'm ready.
Mally, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
So this is interesting because I was listening to another one of your guests and they were talking about how planning had really contributed to their success. And I'm going to go completely the opposite here and say that my flexibility has really contributed to my success. I was growing up, I was an army brat, and so I learned adaptability really fast. And so I've really applied that to my entrepreneurial journey. And that means, you know, when things get thrown at me, there's failures like everybody has, I feel like I'm bouncing back faster because I no longer have that perfectionist mindset of it has to be this or it's nothing else.
Wow, I like that. Did you say an army brat?
An army brat. Yes. Those of us that grew up as children of military parents.
Okay. That's what I thought. But then I was like, does that mean you were in the army and just not good at it? Or?
And I was a jerk. Yeah. I was a jerky soldier. No.
Oh, wow. So you mean like, I guess, lots of moving around, that sort of thing, and adapting
to
new environments?
Lots of moving, you know, getting to know new environments, new ways of working. And it seems silly when you think about it. I mean, it's like, well, how difficult is elementary school and middle school? But, you know, as a kid, you have to learn those skills pretty quickly or you're going to, you know, not make any friends or you're going to do poorly in school, not have any extracurricular activities. So by learning how to be adaptable back then, I really feel like that's helped me today.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think we should say that like how hard is like, grade school and stuff, because I mean, it's everything when you're a kid, right? It's your whole world.
It's true.
It is like, there's nothing really that more important than what you're, because you're in the trenches, literally, to bring the army brat back to it.
Yeah.
At that point, you are, and it's hard, right?
Right.
So it's interesting because I know that, I mean, people ask me about like my daughter and we travel, do stuff, and like, well, how does she deal with it? And I'm like, well, I didn't know anything really about kids, except that I was one at one point. But
right.
They're super adaptable. They'll adapt to anything. And why is it, does this like get bred out of us as we get older? Or do we just, because
right.
I think you're right. I think it's a super necessary skill to have, especially as an entrepreneur and going for big, cool things, right? Not just, well, I'm going to go to this office for the next 30 years, because not a lot of adaptation needs to go on at that point.
Right. You know, and I'm sure some people who are still working in corporate would say, well, you have to be flexible with where you are on the ladder and everything, but it's a different world in the entrepreneurial space, as we both know.
Yeah. Okay. So from army brat to now an entrepreneur, there seems to be this time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things: either they have this calling to make this big giant difference in the world, or, as seems to mostly be the case, they find they simply cannot work for somebody else. Allie, could you please tell me where you sit on that fence, or which side of that fence? Hopefully not on the fence, maybe. But, and could you tell me when you sort of discovered this about yourself?
So I was never really approaching work as, okay, I'm going to do the 65 years of working. I don't know. How long do you work? How long do normal people work?
What do normal people do?
Like my father-in-law, who's been at the same company for 35 years. If it were back in the day, it would have been, you know, the golden watch type of thing. But again, man, I feel like a therapy session here with my parents, with my father being in the military. He retired from the military after 20 years and completely, you know, had to find a new career when he was 42 or whatever it was. And he was an Army test pilot, but he got a degree in accounting.
Wow.
Those two things don't really go together. So
Yeah. Even
though my parents weren't entrepreneurs, I still had that model of, okay, so sometimes people do things differently. And then as I was growing up, I was focusing a lot on school, because as we moved, I found I was good at school. So that was what I really liked to focus on. So I went to college, I went to grad school, and I was actually in a PhD program. And when I was in the middle of my PhD program, I had a bit of a mental health breakdown. And obviously it was very difficult at the time, but I ended up with diagnoses of OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, chronic depression, and an eating disorder. So that really threw me for a loop. And sometimes people, feel a little weird that I'm so open and talking about this, but I feel like it's good to show that you can come through these things if you're adaptable, if you go get the help that you need. So really, my path was never intentionally corporate. It was academic. And so from there, I really had to reevaluate how I looked at work, how I looked at life. And I realized that, okay, I'm already kind of taking this academic path of, I don't really want to work for somebody else. And then I also realized I don't want to work for somebody else, but I also want to make a difference. I was wondering how much academia I was really going to be able to make a difference in it. So to very succinctly answer your question, kind of a mix of the two. I think it was really both a mixture of not wanting to work for somebody else and also wanting to make a difference.
Wow. I love it. And I really, really, truly appreciate the honesty. So it's interesting, like such a, I guess it's the all-American, I mean, dream, college to grad school, then to a PhD. That's like taking it to the ultimate end.
Right.
And then you obviously hit these like huge stumbling blocks.
Yeah.
And made it through the other side. And then it kind of changed your path. That's really interesting. And do you think that also, I guess that could be like brought back to your flexibility, your adaptability? You dealt with something so massive that, I mean, any one of like between OCD or depression or an eating disorder, like any one of those takes a person down oftentimes. You put three together and
Yeah.
Wow. And you come out the other side like stronger, and that's awesome.
I'd like to think so. I hope, I feel like I definitely came out stronger. And you know, the path wasn't really clear from academia to, oh, okay, well, entrepreneurship's a lot like academia. I had to go through a couple of hoops to find that connection. And it is interesting now I've written a couple of blog posts of, well, my goal as an academic was to have my own lab, get my own funding, run a small team of grad students who would help me with my research. And, you know, that's kind of the entrepreneurial path, but, you know, different. So I've always found that pretty interesting. So I left academia. I got my master's degree instead of my PhD. And I did a couple of odd jobs, and those included dog walking, nannying, those types of things. And then I started to discover this online business world. And so I took on some work as a freelance writer. And what I found was a lot of people were really interested in people who had science degrees who could also write. So it's actually, I never had to go into those content mills, the people that are getting paid like cents on the dollar. So I was able to kind of jump in. I wrote for USA Today. Wow. I was hired by a local company to help with their science editing. And that was super helpful. Now, I was doing this all while working a corporate job. And I took the corporate job just because I knew I wanted a steady paycheck. I didn't really know exactly what I was going to get out of this online business world. But after, well, honestly, after like 2 days, I knew that corporate wouldn't work for me. Going back to the previous question, I was so not happy. Yeah, you can ask my husband all about how exciting that time was for both of us when I would come home and I was like, this sucks.
Wow.
But, you know, I'd had that taste. I'd had the taste of grad school and the freedom that came with that, the idea of academia. And I was working online already. So kind of the bureaucracy and everything that went into the corporate space was just mind-numbing to me. And, you know, I'm sure plenty of your listeners agree. And that's kind of why we're all here. But after 6 months, I gave my 2 weeks notice, or I think I gave them 3 weeks notice so I could help with the transition, and just kind of popped off and took on a bridge job, a part-time job as a tutor, and continued working my freelance and building that up. And then from there, I went and tried an e-commerce business, drop shipping fulfillment for a pet store supply website, built up the freelance bit, tried out life coaching, tried out an Etsy shop. And I'm so not artistic, so that was really silly. And then that's when I really started to find my niche of coaching. And as people were watching me do these things, they started asking me, how are you doing this? And I realized there was this space for business coaching.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love it. And like, wow. And like the very beginning of that answer, you said, well, I didn't know where I was going, or it didn't make sense at the time. But now looking back, right. And it's like, imagine if you would have at the very beginning been like, okay, this is exactly what I'm going to do. And it was this crazy zigzag path. There's no way. There's no way you could have known that in advance.
That's right. And it would have been really boring to know, okay, you're going to do this weird zigzag for seemingly no reason and end up here.
Exactly. Exactly. And so interesting, though, freelance writer, especially with science and getting paid well for it. You're right. Not like the content mill people, like $10 an article.
Right.
Did you ever go through like, I mean, they call it an imposter syndrome, but I don't know if it would be the same. But and I don't know anything about academia, but I mean, I have a brother-in-law who's a PhD. So I know like when you write something, it doesn't just get published. It's a huge process. And now you're writing for USA Today and it's going through an editor or two, but then it's published.
Right, right.
Was that hard? Were you like, should I be doing this? Is this right? Or do you know what?
It seemed too easy coming from academia. And I have 2 first author papers from academia. So I've been through the ringer of, you know, the peer review publication process and going back and forth with revisions. And I have a paper that never ended up seeing the light of day after 3 years of work. And so with USA Today, they were like, hey, can you write this article? And I did. And then the editor checked it and she was like, oh, cool. And then she published it. And I was like, this seems wrong. Yeah. So I definitely had, if that's what you're asking.
I totally am. I was wondering, it must be such, but it's also cool because you had this, it's like you started out at the hardest possible way, possible. Like, to most people, they think, wow, writing for USA Today would be the hardest thing ever.
Right.
And you're just like, wow, is it that easy? It shouldn't be. Because you started with this PhD hurdle. I mean, this writing for academia is hard.
Right.
So I love that. So now USA Today is like, well, that's easy for you.
Yeah. It was strange. And then everybody was like, wow, USA Today. And I was like, you know, I just kind of was like, hey, here's my work and my portfolio of things that I've written. And they were like, looks good. Write this.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So your one thing is your flexibility, your ability to adapt. Then everything else after that we've discussed has all been really all about that. You just have kind of deal with things as they come, and it's helped you really, really flourish. So every blog post, every expert, possibly every business coach, I'm not sure, but talks about the 80-20 rule.
Sure.
Do 20%, you'll get 80% of the results. Do what you're good at, but delegate the rest.
Yeah.
So Mally, within your business, can you please tell me something that you are absolutely not good at?
I am great at everything, obviously. And that's what I teach my clients. I say, if you're not good at everything, you get out of the business. No, I am horrible at design. I am actually right now taking a painting class because it's so outside my comfort zone. Just have this very scientific background, and I do not see the same way that artists see. So I definitely have been outsourcing a lot of my design. And for the parts that I'm not outsourcing, I use Canva.com because they have pre-made things that look nice. And I'm like, okay, I can work with that. So I definitely outsourced that. When I had my e-commerce site, I had one team of VAs and then a separate VA just for social media, which is interesting because I consider myself pretty good at social media, but for the e-commerce site, it wasn't very interesting. It wasn't promoting my personal brand or promoting a business that I was exactly passionate about. It was a business that I knew I could make money from. Yeah. And so that's
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I was really just focused on the business part and the 4-hour work week approach of, okay, well, if I hire somebody to do this. So, you know, I'm fairly comfortable with hiring out those types of things. And what I really want to hire out soon is my podcast editing, because I'm okay at it, but I definitely know that my production quality could be better. And it's just really annoying to sit and go through all of the podcast editing. I don't know if you've ever done it yourself or if you outsource it, but it's just a pain, you know?
I did my first, I think, 34 episodes, and I thought I was so good.
Yeah.
And I go back and listen. It's just like, oh, I mean, it was cool because I really got hands on, like what format I wanted and all that stuff. But as soon as I got it to a pro, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is on my list. I actually have a whole list because I'm wanting to hire a VA by the end of the year. I don't have it up right now, but I definitely have a list of these are things I'm not terrific at and I would totally have a VA do. So I'm all about the delegation.
Are you a good manager of VAs and people?
You know, when my corporate job, I was on the project management team. And so they pretty much hired me to do the managing of people. And it was so funny because I was coming off of this mental health breakdown where I basically learned, you know, I have an anxiety disorder and have trouble like keeping things straight in my head. And one of my supervisors came up to me and she's like, you know, you're really just the most relaxed person we have on this team. And I just cracked up and I realized it is because I feel like managing people does come somewhat naturally to me, which is a very strange thing because that's definitely never a path I was intentionally taking.
Wow, that's cool. And it can often be a real struggle with entrepreneurs, at least the 100 or so I've now interviewed.
Most of us.
Yeah is that... We're really good at the ideas and doing it, but we really kind of oftentimes get stuck doing everything ourselves just because we're afraid to let it go. And I'm totally guilty of this myself.
Yeah.
So that's.
I also recommend therapy for that. You know, I mean, when I was going through the therapy process of, you know, how to let go of control, especially for the OCD aspect. Man, I think I just like took that to the extremes. And now I'm like, what can I outsource? You know, I've really, you know, I'm joking, but I'm also serious. It's really helped me let go of a lot of the perfectionism that I was struggling with beforehand. And I think a lot of that perfectionism is what we as entrepreneurs do have issues with. If we have to have it perfect, we have to do it the best, and we can do everything. And so by, you know, learning, oh, I can let go of control, it was something that helped me be comfortable with delegating.
Wow. That's, I'm joking, but I'm also serious. Wow, that's one of the, I've never had that told to me yet during an interview.
Write that down.
Here's what you need, John. I'm joking, but I'm actually serious. Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, Mally, we're going to move on to projects.
Cool.
Projects is a loose term. It can be anything sort of that you, any new venture you want to go into, or just something new you want to go into within your existing business. I know early on in our businesses, we obviously, things come across our email, across our desk, and we can kind of get that shiny object syndrome, what to do, where to go, and we can kind of go in too many directions. So I'd love to know if you have a process for determining what is a new project that you and your business should go into.
Oh, that's really interesting. And yeah, I'm definitely, with everyone else, guilty of the shiny object syndrome. I think this may catch you off guard. I'm an introvert, which a lot of people are like, what? But you have a podcast and like you're talkative. But, you know, I'm just somebody who really needs a lot of time to recharge. I tried not to schedule anything around this interview because I knew this would be like my energy expenditure for the afternoon. And so I do try to make sure that I am not overscheduling myself. And that's part of how I decide, okay, what projects come onto my plate, what go on to later projects. And really, it's interesting because I kind of have this constant pipeline of, let me try this. If it doesn't work, I toss it out. It goes to the back of the pipeline of, we'll try that again later. Let's try the new thing on the pipeline. And so I wouldn't say it's a process in the same way that I have a lot of things systematized in my business, but it's definitely something that I keep in mind of how much time, how much energy do I have? I really focus on energy management in the least woo-woo way possible, you know, instead of time management. And I think the two really tie together.
Nice. So let me try this. And then if it doesn't work, maybe you'll put it on the side and then come back and try it later.
Yeah.
What, so you decide, let me try this, whatever this may be. It's a direction you decided to go in. How long does it take you before you're like, okay, that doesn't work? Or are you one of these like stubborn entrepreneurs that like, no, I'm going to make this thing work no matter what? Like there's that whole dip, yeah. Right? Seth Godin. I mean,
yeah.
The harder it is through the dip, the more the reward is on the other side. Where do you know that, okay, I got to put this aside and no, I got to just struggle through and get it to that point?
Well, one thing people have commented about me, which I think is interesting, you know, from an insider perspective of myself, is they say that I get things out really quickly. So I have really high turnover of actually, here it is, here's the sales page, here's all of the product. And so I think it's really more market research and responding to what my audience seems to be wanting at the time. But you're right. I don't think I really have a solid thing where I say, okay, if I don't get 10% of my list signed up for this thing, it fails, or, oh, I need to retry this launch. I had a group program that I really wanted to work out at the beginning of the year. And so I went through, you know, the typical launch process in January with my list, and I had like 2 people sign up or something, and I was aiming for 10. So, you know, that's 20% of the people I wanted to have. And then I launched it again the next month, and I did what I thought was pretty much exactly the same launch process. And I filled up the full 10 people group. So it's a little strange because for me, coming from a science background, realizing that business is not an exact science has been very frustrating for me. But I do try to give things a couple of chances before you're giving up on them. But again, with a therapy, it's really been easier for me to let things go. If I give them a couple of chances and my audience just doesn't seem to be responding.
Wow. I can see why you were serious about therapy, because
right.
Most people, myself included, probably would have just, even though I know that I need to give it another go, I probably would have just like scrambled on to something else and just been like, oh, okay, I'll do this. Mm-hmm. And you went back and did the exact same thing a month later. And exactly what I think the definition of insanity is supposed to be is doing the same thing the same way and expecting a different result.
That's right.
Yet you got a completely different result.
Right. And I'm, you know, I'm technically insane, I guess. So maybe that works.
We all are. All right. So, Melly, this has been a lot of fun. I want to wrap up on something I'm toying with calling the entrepreneurial gap. Mm. So it's this gap that we live in as entrepreneurs, as sort of dreamers of big, cool things, not wanting to just, I guess to be flexible and just to see where it brings us, right?
Yeah.
We're always looking forward 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years,
yeah.
Which we have to do. I totally agree. Yet before we even hit those goals, when my business gets there in 6 months, everything will be good. Mm-hmm. Before we even get there, we set 5 loftier, bigger goals into the future, and we never quite get to where we want to be. So I would love you right now to stop, turn around, and just look at where you've come from, an army brat, all the way through everything you've been through, what you've accomplished in your different business ventures, and where you are right now, and just tell me how you feel about what you have accomplished, what you've learned, and where you're going.
I love this. And now you're sounding like my therapist. You know, I think it is difficult for a lot of us to step back and say, you know what, self, you've done a good job, because our focus is always forward looking. We're always saying, what's next? How can we do better? How could this last launch have gone better? And I think I've done a really great job of, well, being flexible and accepting that the path that I was told was the right path, the college, get a good job, you know, white picket fence, trying that and realizing it wasn't for me, kind of shifting direction there. And I feel like I'm in a good place with my business right now. I've got some good clients. I have more things coming up on the pipeline, but I've not really set those hard and fast 5 or 10 year goals the way that I might have in the past, because I know things are going to change. If I look back 5 years, I was still in grad school. I would have no idea that I was going to be here right now and still being successful in a completely different area than I expected to be.
Wow. That's so awesome. That's so awesome. This has been a great conversation that I've really, really, really enjoyed. We've got to talk about your business sort of in passing. I honestly, truly believe that your services could help a lot of my listeners. So I would love it if you would take a moment to just tell the listeners specifically where they can go find out more about you and your services.
Sure. Yeah, you can find the hub of all my work at mallyridzik.com. And I'm sure you can find that in the show notes of how to spell that. That's MallyRyzik. And you'll find that I'm doing a handful of things. But if you're really wanting to work with me as a business coach and consultant, click the link to my system scientist site. And I work with new and upcoming entrepreneurs that are in the first 2 years of their business to really help them get clear, focused on a good sales funnel setup, what clients they're serving, setting up their marketing. And I also work with entrepreneurs that are 2 years and beyond in their business that are really wanting to systematize things, set up good processes and automation.
That's awesome. I will link to mallyridzik.com, systemsscientist.com. You also have a podcast, the Off-Road Millennial podcast?
That's right, the Off-Road Millennial. If people are interested in being a guest, it's another one of these entrepreneur interview shows. My focus is showing people in their 20s and 30s that it is possible to go off the path that they were taught is the correct one. And I think a lot of people are doing that. So you don't have to be a millennial to be on the show, just there to inspire millennials.
Excellent. Excellent. I will link to all those in the show notes. They're very, very easy for everyone to find. And I, again, strongly urge you to go check out Mally's services for you and your business. So Mally, again, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing and for taking the time to join me today. I really do appreciate it. And just please keep doing what you're doing, because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Great. Thanks so much, John. This has been a really fun conversation.
Mally, thank you so much for that great conversation. I had a lot of fun in it, and I hope that you out there listening enjoyed it as much as I did. Mally is, she's on a great path, a great trajectory to do some big, cool things. She's been through a lot, as we heard, and she's come from
academia. What a strange place to come from and end up as an entrepreneur. But this just goes to prove that I don't think any of us are born entrepreneurs. We step up and do it. So I really do appreciate the conversation, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. But we go back and we go through this conversation. I just keep going back to this one spot, because although she said so many smart things throughout the conversation, she did, she truly did. But she said that one thing, right? That one thing, you know, you heard it too. So let's just go back, because, you know, we just need to find it. Did you get it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
But after 6 months, I gave my 2 weeks notice, or I think I gave them 3 weeks notice so I could help with the transition, and just kind of popped off and took on a bridge job, a part-time job as a tutor, and continued working my freelance and building that up. And then from there, I went and tried an e-commerce business, drop shipping fulfillment for a pet store supply website, built up the freelance bit, tried out life coaching, tried out an Etsy shop. And I'm so not artistic, so that was really silly. And then that's when I really started to find my niche of coaching.
And that's the hack. Mally. Yes, exactly. I love this. I love this because this shows how you didn't know exactly what you were going to do. You realized that the job or a job wasn't for you, and then quit that job, took a bridge job. You do what you have to do to pay the rent, do whatever you eat, support your family if that's what it takes. But then she tried different things. Freelancing is a brilliant way. Take what you already do as a job and try and do it as a freelancer. Take one of your skills and hire it out. I know that people like to have a product or something they can sell and do the whole passive income thing, but sometimes you need to bridge that gap between having a business that sort of runs itself and is totally passive and where you are stuck in a job. So you bridge it with a bridge job like she did, freelancing, slowly work on building up the freelancing. And then she just tried things, went from e-commerce drop shipping and into life coaching and then back into building up more freelancing, and then finally found what it is she was supposed to be doing. We rarely know this when we're starting. We don't. We need to take that leap, and we need to just try different things. Every one of us who has businesses of any sort of caliber or that support ourselves and our families now at this point have this litter of websites and businesses and ideas we've tried online. It's just, it's a nature of the beast. It really, really is. And you have to do these things. You learn as you go, and it slowly evolves into figuring out what it is and where you belong online and where you belong in business. And I really love this, Mally, because you still, although you're still in it and growing, you now know what it is you're supposed to do, at least for now. And that's all that really matters. It's an adventure. It's a big, long process. And we have to be willing to jump into it before we know where we need to end up. So thank you so much, Mally. All right. It's been a lot of fun. As always, thank you very, very much. Hacktheentrepreneur.com is the website. Check it out. Get on that email list. You'll see my nice face at the top there. And put your email in there, and I'd love to be able to email you once a week, every Sunday. My best writing's going out there, and it'd be great to have you. So that's it. It's been fun. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.